From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, part of Speak Up Talk Radio's many services, home to the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and our newest book song, where we create a musical masterpiece to highlight your book. I am Pat Rulo, and today's guest is a recent Firebird Book Award winner, Eleni Kalakos, and the book is titled Charismatic Presence, Five Principles for Magnetic Presentations. She is known as the Speaker Whisperer, is the president of the Eleni Group, established in 2003. She uses performance techniques learned over 20 years as a professional actress in New York and Hollywood to help executives across the globe be relaxed, real, and relatable when they pitch or present. An award-winning, nationally touring singer-songwriter, Eleni has produced and recorded four acclaimed music CDs. Her first book is titled Touch the Sky, Find Your Voice, Speak Your Truth, Make Your Mark. And her second book, Claim the Stage, A Woman's Guide to Speaking Up, Standing Out, and Taking Leadership, released in 2021, hit Amazon bestseller status. And today we are going to talk about her newest book, Charismatic Presence, Five Principles for Magnetic Presentations. So let's get ready to learn how to enhance our charismatic presence. Welcome to Authors on Fire, Eleni.
Well, thank you, Pat. And I feel like I just want to reach out and hug you for pronouncing my name so absolutely perfectly.
Oh, yay. Well, congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award. I'm happy to share that with you.
Thank you. I was thrilled, to be blunt. I appreciate it more than I can even say. It's significant to me to receive an award like that based on words that I write. Writing was the thing that I knew I would do in my later years. I was offered a writing position right out of college for a magazine, and I turned it down to do theater because I thought, you know what? I love to write, and I will write as I move forward in my life. And so it's significant and meaningful to me to receive an award like that.
Well, thank you. It's always very meaningful to me when each and every person dares to share their words with us. I mean, that also takes a little bit of something to put yourself and your book out there for others to read and judge. That's a huge thing to do. So I'm always very honored and humbled when people do that. So thank you.
I just want to comment about you. You just made such a wonderful statement, but it does take an enormous amount of courage to put your words out there, whether they're in written form or spoken form. You're so very right. It's a risk.
It's being vulnerable, but no risk, no reward, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, my friend, we are going to dig into what you call your yumminess. And we have to find out about charisma. When I think about charisma, I think, oh, it's an it factor. You know, it's just something maybe reserved for a few people, or maybe people have charisma only around certain other people. Let's talk about charisma. Is it something everyone can cultivate? And how do you define charismatic presence?
I love that you ask me that. That's really the essence of this book. And it came out of the fact that so many people would reach out to me and they would say, I wish I had charisma. My friend Joe has charisma. You know, my great aunt Tilly has charisma, but I feel like I am such a dud. And really, frankly, over the years and through various experiences, I've actually come to the belief that we all have what I call charismatic presence, which I define, and I might as well read this definition from the book because it's so specific. I define charismatic presence as your dynamic life force fully activated in the present moment. It's the kind of all senses go, ease, aliveness, and authenticity that makes people want to look at you, listen to you, and trust you. And really, honestly, we all start out with this. We're all just deliciously present and alive in our own selves From birth. We're magnetic just by being. I mean, if you've ever stared at a little baby lying in the crib for minutes or hours on end, and all they're doing is just laying there, you know, blowing spit bubbles or whatever. We just, by virtue of being who we are fully and allowing our yumminess, I like that you referenced that. That's a, I always say it's a professional term.
I think it is.
You know, but allowing yourself, and I mean that capital S, the essence of you to overflow in the moment, no reservations, no lidding yourself. It's very magnetic. And we start out like this, and then the world encroaches upon us, Pat, and we begin to play small in the face of rules and regs and trying to be liked and trying to please and trying to get it right and trying to be perfect. I mean, even, you know, when you hear parents sometimes in a restaurant and they'll be sitting with their children and the kids are all excited and they're speaking loudly, you know, and mama will say, honey, use your indoor voice, you know, and I think, aha, and so it begins, you know, because look, it's human nature to want to fit in. It's human nature to want to belong. And sometimes in the interest of doing that, we start to shave off the parts of ourself that make us most interesting and make us who we most are most easily. Our sense of humor, our quirkiness, our deliciousness. There's another word I like to use. But the truth is, everybody's got it. It's a matter of, I think of it as like a little pilot light. And it's in our best interest to know that it exists and to fan that flame into greater flame, you know, to maximize our charismatic presence.
I want to talk specifically about public speaking because that's what your book presents. But before we get there, I want to think about cultivating charismatic presence in our everyday life, in conversations, relationships, even on our self-confidence, because that could lead you to public speaking if you already have laid that groundwork or have given that some thought. So maybe let's just talk a bit about everyday people who aren't really planning to do public speaking. How does it affect us on our everyday lives?
I'm so glad that you, first of all, I'm so glad we're talking, Pat. You ask great questions, but I'm so glad you asked that one because, you know, first of all, charismatic presence, the book itself, though it's, yes, it's designed for people who are, you know, in the corporate world, let's say, it's a holistically written book. And because I really believe that we have opportunities everywhere in our lives to bring our beautiful charismatic presence, whether we're just having a conversation with our family members or someone at the checkout counter at the grocery store, we have these opportunities to show up and step up and bring our whole selves and our whole hearts to the moment, you know, connecting with our eyes and our heart, sharing our wisdom, listening well, all the things that allow us to maximize that presence. And in so doing, we create stronger relationships all around. I think this is how we bond with people. And this is how we invite people in versus keep them out. So I think the more that we do this, the healthier we are as human beings, the more relaxed we are in ourselves, the more we allow this in other people, no matter where we are and who we're with.
Right. I also think about certain people have just a body language about them. I think back to my dad would just walk into a room and you could just see everybody would turn to him and it seemed like there was automatic respect just for the way he walked into the room. So how about body language and voice? What role does that play in magnetic communication compared to content?
A great and wonderful question. When I talk about charismatic presence, I'm talking about what I call the three presence planes. And that is your vocal or verbal presence, how you're using your voice really to command the room, if you will, and express yourself clearly and well. Your physical presence, right? Your my wonderful mentor at Brown University, my acting teacher who passed away not that long ago, at almost the age of 100, he used to say, "Your meat suit, you know, what you're wandering around and sitting in. How are you sitting and standing like a king or queen? You know, are you allowing yourself to fill up your space? And also your, by the way, your energetic presence, the vibe that you're putting out. That's typically dictated by what's going on in your head. Limiting beliefs can limit that energy from moving out and attracting people. But your physical presence, your vocal presence, these are critical. And often what happens is people are second guessing themselves. They'll pull themselves in from a physical and vocal standpoint. They'll literally physically play smaller. They'll make themselves smaller. They'll almost cuddle up to themselves rather than expanding out and expanding up and filling out that space around them. Same thing from a vocal standpoint. They will refrain from saying what they need to say. They will stammer, use filler words. They will be unclear and unwilling to really lay claim to what they're saying. Sometimes their voice is very hushed. Or sometimes the reverse, very, very loud and strident, which pushes people away. So these are the kinds of things that make a massive difference. Even simply your willingness to be relaxed and present, you know, your body open, relaxed and in a receiving mode, rather than your arms crossed, or, you know, you're allowing your audience of one or many to know, I'm open to you. That's what you want. And that also frees you up. You know, when you're physically relaxed, your charismatic presence has a greater chance of expanding up and out.
Right. Yep. Nothing's blocking it.
No.
Exactly.
I use the term sphinctering up because that's what happens. You know, we literally, in the face of something we're afraid of, and often you brought it up, you know, public speaking, sharing, and whether you're on a public platform or even just speaking up in a conversation, speaking up in a meeting, depending on the circumstance, it can be terrifying to people, you know, and they just won't do it. So it really matters to be able to help yourself in these scenarios. Otherwise, gosh, your wisdom and your message, your perspective might very well be lost. That these moments where we have opportunity to share something at work, at home, in the world, they come and they go. And if we're afraid to step into them, we miss an opportunity. We might very well miss an opportunity to change somebody's life without even realizing it.
Absolutely. I always say, never say no. And when it comes to those, when it comes to opportunities, you know, you don't know what lays on the other side. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking of how many authors will approach me about prior to the author interview that tell me how nervous they are, that they're scared. And I love when that happens because I try to set them free and say, you know what, you know more about what you're talking about than I do. I'm just the dummy here asking questions. I'm not asking you anything that you don't know or feel passionate about. And at the end of the interview, they always say, oh my gosh, I feel so good. Thank you. I feel empowered. So when you have an opportunity to speak up, go for it.
And I think it helps so much when you have someone who's really expert in asking questions. It can release people into the moment. And, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because I was just talking to a coaching client about this. They are more comfortable. They're doing videos to represent their business, you know? And they said to me, I find it's a lot easier when someone's asking me questions off camera and I can just respond. Mm-hmm. And I often will say to people, that's a great way to go. So the act of having someone else ask you something and you just replying, that conversational feel is what we want anyway.
Right.
People forget, or maybe they don't even know that when it comes to that dreaded public speaking, in truth, It's really a conversation. Yeah, you're keeping up most of it, but you are sharing with members of an audience, one person at a time. And what we expect in this day and age is not some stilted, scripted, didactic kind of thing. What we expect is a conversational feel with someone who's going to be interactive with us.
Right.
And that's a whole different thing. And that requires willingness to not just be present, but to break that wall down between yourself and that audience and really reach out and share, which ironically is one of the antidotes to the fear. Because if you're willing to reach out like that energetically, vocally, your audience pours energy back and you feel like you're part of the audience rather than standing away from them, which can trigger our sense of not belonging.
And as you're speaking, I'm thinking about your five principles. And obviously, before you can even begin to think of this, you need to know yourself. And that's one of your principles. Know thyself, and then be thyself, prepare thyself, commit thyself, and turn thyself on. Let's talk briefly about those and how they connect to one another.
I'm glad you brought them up because they're the foundation of my book. They're the reason. The book is based on these because these are the principles that I've developed over really a couple of decades now, and they come squarely out of my background as a performer, as an actor primarily. When it comes to knowing thyself, I always like to say actors are kind of given a hard time for being so focused on themselves, but I say that's because they have to know themselves really fully, because what they're putting forth into the world comes simply from who they are, from what they do well, and also from an awareness of what they're not so good at. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about know thyself, I'm saying do your due diligence. Know what stops you, what starts you, what turns you on, what turns you off, what you're really good at from a presenting or communication standpoint. Or just in general, what are you great at that you can maximize and even potentially use within your presentations or communications? And what do you know needs work? You know, where do you tend to shut down? What kinds of situations? When do you get most nervous? What are the things that you do to help yourself with that? Do you do anything at all? In other words, really plumb yourself. That's where it begins. And then be thyself. I would say it's the hardest thing ever to really fully be yourself when eyeballs are on you. Because all of a sudden, Mo and Schmo, your little judgers, mm-hmm. little guys sit on your shoulder and mm-hmm. try to make you second guess yourself with what I call lies that bind you. Like, you know, you're boring and no one's going to pay attention. That is a lie that binds. That's a limiting belief. But what happens is you start getting in your head and playing with Mo and Schmo. And as soon as you do that, you move right out of the moment. You're actually judging yourself in the moment. And you are not fully being present in the moment. It takes courage to show up and be who you are with other people. It really does. Now, prepare thyself. Pat, you and I could talk about that one all day. On my wall in here, it says, practice builds confidence, confidence builds presence, and presence is power. That's my quote. I'm an actor originally, and actors are nutty about preparation of all kinds, getting the material together, rehearsing the material, making choices about the material, and preparing their head where Mo and Schmo live so they can step into the moment and surrender to the stage. So when it comes to preparation, I mean, honestly, I could have written just one book on preparation, but I have a very full chapter about it. But it does involve the stages of preparation, you know, all those things I mentioned. And You know, one of the things that I wound up including in the book, I wondered if I should or not, but I have a couple of blueprints that help people literally prepare the content, meaning work out the parameters of the content. And I think that's important. So preparation, and then commit thyself. When it comes down to it, commit thyself comes down to not being wishy-washy. You know, I always like to say, ban wishy-washy. It's about making bold choices to honor the material, to honor the audience. And I often refer to it in relationship to spontaneous speaking, improvisational speaking. Many of my clients worry excessively about this. Oh no, the Q&A section. Oh no, I'm going to be on Authors on Fire podcast and I don't know what the questions are, and I'm going to, you know, it's that feel. So I love to play with people around this and help them get comfortable being uncomfortable and just making strong, bold choices using improvisation tools and techniques, you know. And the more they play around this, the more they realize, hey, I'm a natural born improv person. We are from birth. Life and conversation are improv by nature. So that's what that one's about. And then finally, turn thyself on so you can turn others on. When it comes down to it, there's nothing more compelling than someone who is fully alive. And that comes from, really, in my opinion, a couple of things. First of all, connecting with what I call your soul role, that deep purpose that I feel that we all have. The reason that we're each individually here, and the reason we've been gifted with various talents and abilities. When we define what that is, when we stick our toes in it, conversations, spoken word, written word, when it's coming from there is passion and purpose firing it up. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is filling your spoken words, your, written words, whatever it is. If you're presenting, filling your presentations with things that make you come alive and that you do well. I mean, if you love to tell stories, tell more stories. If you love poetry, fold some poems in. You know, if juggling is your thing, juggle away. I mean, seriously, I say, if interpretive dance, go for it. Interpretive dance. Whatever's going to make you come alive will help your audience come alive as well. When you're relaxed, when you're having fun, when you're playing, your audience is too. And as I always say, what you're comfortable with, your audience is going to be comfortable with too. So if something goes wrong, okay, be okay with it, and your audience will too. You can always make lemonade from lemons.
Absolutely. Those are five fabulous principles. And as you were talking about it, I was thinking about preparation. And again, I go back to the people who do author interviews. Sometimes I do get folks that just insist on the questions ahead of time. And I try to explain that I really want this to be spontaneous. It's just a conversation between two friends. So my question is, how do you balance preparation with staying spontaneous and real in the moment?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. There is a point where you have to stop getting ready to get ready. This is a scary point for people. What happens is that a lot of people will prepare just enough to sort of feel okay, but not enough for it to really become a part of them. There's an expression I wish I'd come up with, but it's amateurs practice until they get it right. Professionals practice until they can't get it wrong. Actors know this, top-level musicians or dancers know this. You know, you get to the point where it's ingrained. It becomes almost like you're bored with it because you know it so well. At that point, you can surrender to the stage fully. However, I feel like most people in the world, they don't have the kind of time that actors do necessarily to. make, you know, memorize something, or internalize is a better word. And I feel that being able to give yourself a moratorium, give yourself a little more time maybe than you're used to, rather than the night before putting that presentation together, or thinking that the just putting the slides together is enough. Give yourself some grace period if you can, at least a couple of days beforehand. By then, it should have been put together. You should have at least practiced it out loud several times and worked on the parts that were sticky or icky for you so that they are smoother. But there comes a point where you're going to have to just put a moratorium on the practicing and the preparing and trust yourself. I'm all about allowing, you know, yourself to use notes as you need them, spare little notes, little bullet points or operative words to remind you, because what you're really there to do is to connect with that audience.
Right.
You don't want to be buried in your notes. You want to be connecting with your eyes and your heart with that audience and trusting that you've done the work to be able to convey what needs to be conveyed.
Yep.
It's always a fine line.
Oh my gosh, you're fascinating. This is so inspirational. We could spend, we could spend a day together, as you said earlier. But as we begin to wrap up, I know there's probably many things we're missing, but anything on your mind that you wanted to for sure bring up before we head out?
I really do believe that practice builds habit, as my good friend John B. Molitor likes to say. You cannot get better at this without doing it. So take the risk to put yourself out there. Take the risk to speak up when the opportunity comes. Take the risk. You can be both afraid and brave all at the same time.
And you do coaching. So if folks want to work beyond your books, tell us a bit about your coaching offers.
I do. I work one-on-one with all kinds of people. From I work with a lot of authors, actually, who are putting together talks around their books. I work with thought leaders who are putting together big, huge, you know, kind of blow the ceiling off the place keynotes. I work with people in business who are you know, wanting to be able to deliver their quarterly numbers in a way that is engaging and interesting. I work with all kinds of people. I work with folks who want to be able to give their daughters away at their weddings and manage that without letting the tears completely overtake them.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And I do trainings within companies as well. And I'm out there as a speaker too. You know, there's nothing better. I'm a performer by trade. So I love doing my big old keynotes in front of groups. And I am continuously marching toward mastery. That is what I believe that we're all here to do around these things. I have to walk my talk, and I do my best to keep learning and growing as well as a speaker.
Oh, absolutely. You have to be believable, given the fact of your topic. So,
oh, it's a lot of pressure, let me tell you.
I can imagine.
Like, oh, yeah.
I better be good.
I better be good for these people.
I don't think you ever worry about that. All right. Well, then if you would share places where folks can go to find out more about you, connect with you as far as coaching, get copies of your books.
You can find me at my website, which is www.theelaneygroup.com. And I'm going to spell it theelaneygroup.com. And you can write to me there as well at Elaney at the Elaney Group. I'm always happy to hear from folks. You can find my book at all kinds of sources, like Amazon and other online platforms. And I hope you do, because this is the book that I had been planning to write for many years, that my clients have pushed me to write. And I hope that when you do buy it and read it, that you can use it and it will benefit you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is life-changing. Again, as we circle back to the beginning, you don't have to be a public speaker. This will change your life. Charismatic Presence, Five Principles for Magnetic Presentations by Eleni Kalakos. If you could leave our audience with one short mantra or a reminder to summon their own presence before speaking or just living, what would it be?
It would be, let your yumminess overflow.
I love
you so much, Pat.
I love you, Eleni. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your energy with us today. And I know everyone will walk away feeling more confident about stepping into their own authentic magnetic presence. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.